Welcome, friends. I'm Dave Champion. This is my co-host, Bill Carnes. And together we are totally unprepared. You, me, who wants to go? It's ugly.
As we start filming this show, there's still an active investigation going on for a very fresh crime scene in San Bernardino, California, from an active shooter. Of course, by the time you see this, we'll have known all this, but it's actually going on right now. They're still looking for 1 to 3 suspects.
Yep.
Somebody shot up some sort of a social services center, which is obviously going to be a government-regulated building, which is going to be a no-shooting zone.
Gun-free zone.
Gun-free zone, not a no-shooting zone.
A victim disarmament zone.
And, of course, we're talking about California, which is, for all intents and purposes, a gun-free zone itself.
Right.
You can't have a loaded gun in your car. You can't carry a gun. CCWs are near impossible to get in most parts of the states. It's ridiculous. So all they do is they create everybody into this victimized situation. And this is the same thing we talk about regularly. How do you stop a bad guy with a gun? A good guy with a gun. Because you call the cops hoping that they'll come stop them. Why don't you have a gun? If you have not yet learned that this is the way to do it, if you've gone from ignorance, which is simply not having enough information, to stupid, having all the information but you're still not going to accept it, you're just fucking stupid.
Yeah. You know, after Paris, I did the now infamous Dave Champion Angry Truck Rant.
Truck Rant, yeah.
And that one has now been viewed over 7 million times. And as soon as the word started rolling in about this shooting in San Bernardino, the very first message I got about it included this question. Another truck rant? But I've got to tell you,
it'd be 3.0 at this point, I think it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I feel like if I were to do another truck rant on another mass shooting, I'm repeating myself. And it's, if people don't want to listen, why the hell talk?
It might not even need to be a rant, Dave. I got to tell you how I do it. It's the way I'm doing it right now. It's, look, we know that the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. So there's three things here. There's wolves, there's sheep, and there's sheepdogs.
Yep.
The wolf is the bad guy with the gun. The sheep are the people getting shot that are unarmed, and the sheepdogs are whoever comes with the gun to stop them.
Yep.
So you can be a sheep, or you can be a sheepdog. And if you're going to be a sheep and you get laid, mowed down because you didn't bring your gun, you're too much of a girly man to want to accept, hey, I have to accept my own responsibility here, then you know what? Go get shot. You're stupid.
And Californians are the worst. Let me explain this. They are conditioned. Even the pro-gun people in California are conditioned to be terrified of their government. And here's Dave Champion's Liberty page on Facebook. It has over 86,000 followers now. And I posted something a few days ago about carrying. Obviously, I didn't know this was going to happen in San Bernardino. But the vast majority of people who came in and said, I don't carry, and here's why, and justifying their decision to be victims, were residents of California. There were a few exceptions, people who lived in places like Chicago and things like that. But the people who lived in California, I mean, one guy actually told a story. He said he and his friend went to a business. There was a sign at the door that said no guns. He was not carrying. His friend was. They walked back to his car. He put the gun in the car, and then they went into the business. I'm like, Bill, you and I have known each other for a hell of a long time now. Do you, other than something like a courthouse that's got a metal detector or an airport, do you ever take your gun off because there's a sign that says no guns allowed?
No, a sign has never prevented me from taking, because that sign is not going to somehow protect me.
Right.
And, you know, there's been a legal argument to consider. If a public place, a place that's a public convenience, a public accommodation, I guess is the legal term, and they say, don't bring any guns in here, and you normally carry, and you leave your gun to go in there, let's say if it was a grocery store, they are now assuming the liability for your safety and your safety and everybody else.
Well, they should be.
But, and that's a legal argument that hasn't yet been tested that I believe certainly should. But it would only apply to people like us who normally carry, who would then disarm just because of that sign and the policy of that store, and then we are injured. If you don't carry a gun to protect yourself and you get injured, it doesn't really matter where you are because you normally don't carry a gun anyhow. Yeah. So the liability there wouldn't exist because you don't provide for your own security.
And of course, you know, I lived in California for my entire life, other than my time in the military and a little time in Europe. I lived in California my whole time before I came to Nevada. And I carried a handgun concealed, permitless, because it was not available in L.A. County. To get a permit in L.A. County, I don't know how it is now. I'm presuming it's the same. Sorry if I'm doing this stuff with my throat. I'm just getting over being sick. I know exactly. Believe me, as bad as it was, that I'm with you. You either have to be like a diamond merchant, you have to have verifiable death threats against you, credible death threats, or you have to donate like $10,000 to the sheriff's reelection campaign.
It's $100,000.
Is it now $100,000?
It is, and Lee Baca, one of the best sheriffs money can buy.
Yeah. So consequently, I didn't fulfill any of those requirements, and so I carried for years, I can't even tell you how long. Without a concealed carry permit in California.
Which is a misdemeanor in California.
Yes, but
in Nevada, which is an open carry state, it's a felony
if it's ridiculous.
The jacket tax is a felony. It's ridiculous.
So, but my point is all these people on this thread, these Californians, so I imagine this was a social in San Bernardino, the location of this latest mass shooting. It's a gun-free zone. I'm sure they have a sign at the door, no weapons allowed. And so I have to wonder,
I think that's at the state line, actually.
It is. But I have to wonder, because I've heard San Bernardino is a wee bit better than some other places about issuing concealed carry
permits. Kern County is good, but that's the only other one I know of that is.
But let's say that what I've heard is true, that San Bernardino is a bit better. Anybody who had a concealed carry permit, they get to the door, it says no weapons. In California, these knuckleheads are so programmed by the anti-gun mentality of their law enforcement and their government, they would literally go back to the car, put the gun there, and become a victim of one of these horrible, delusional mass shooters.
If you want to avoid being the victim of a mass shooting, avoid places that are gun-free zones. Period.
Yeah.
Just avoid them. Your chances of getting shot in a mass shooting is dramatically lessened if you stay at a gun-free zone. Just leave them alone.
Yeah, and of course, you know, gun-free zone, as soon as I walk in, it's not. So
let's talk about another majorly gun-free zone, Chicago.
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about that, where we had, what was his name? Was it LaShawn?
Laquan.
Laquan McDonald.
Yep.
Who was murdered a year ago by CPD.
Right, by last name Dyke is the officer's name.
Yeah. Shot 16 times. We all saw the video. People are saying he was walking away. He was surrounded by vehicles at a half moon. He was walking away from that particular angle that got out.
Correct.
But not walk away from anybody else. And he got shot 16 times, most of those while he was already on the ground, not moving.
Yeah. For those of you who are gun guys, and you may not have seen the video, this cop just did a mag dump.
He did, yeah.
He just lined up his front sight and just pressed away. Even the guy was on the ground completely out of the fight. He just kept pressing the trigger.
Yeah.
It's out-and-out murder, and Dyke has been charged with murder.
A year later. Now, keep in mind,
yeah,
if this dash cam video or anybody else's video, a cell phone video existed of a private citizen having gunned this kid down, they would have snatched this guy up like that.
Yeah.
So why did it take a year, Dave?
Because McCarthy, the now former superintendent, thankfully, after I don't know how many years of that douche being the superintendent of Chicago PD, Rahm Emanuel finally told him, you're done, get out of here. But that's because he embarrassed Rahm.
Sure.
Not because because Rahm gives a shit about any black kid, right? And but McCarthy tried to cover this up for a year. And it's funny because people see the videotape and they think that's all that's to it. And there's a lot, we know there's a lot of cop apologists, you know, and no matter what the cops do, you know, they'll take a look at a video of a cop stomping on an 18-month-old and the cop will claim that he's in fear for his life. And they'll somehow find a way to validate that he was in fear for his life of an 18-month-old. But there's more to this story because this was not the first time they encountered McDonald. They had been called initially about a half hour earlier to a Burger King on a complaint of a man with a knife.
McDonald went to Burger King.
Yes, there you go. I hadn't even thought about that. So there's Ronald McDonald at Burger King, right?
Ronald McDonald.
But we don't know what happened when they encountered him at Burger King. The reason we don't know is because after Dyke murdered McDonald, three other patrol officers went back to the Burger King. They asked the manager to have access to the video system. And the next morning, when the shooting investigation team showed up to check the video, 86 minutes was missing. And of course, the officers deny they had nothing to do with it. But the manager of the Burger King says they've been running that system for years and they've never had a second of data fallout.
Yeah, so yeah. Those three cops all need to be rounded up and fired.
Right.
Everybody that was involved in trying to cover this up needs to be rounded up and fired. And you know as well as I do that when the mayor's office caught wind of this, their people were dealing with the superintendent's people. And
sure.
What do you think was going on there?
Well, I think what happened is when this started to blow up a little bit and there started to be some noise about this, that the mayor's people, Rahm's people, said to McCarthy, is there something we should know about? Is there something we should be ready for? Should we start having our narrative put in place? You know, we need to, if we're going to cover this up, we need to all work together. I think the reason McCarthy got fired is McCarthy said, I got this. It's under wraps. Nothing's going to happen. And then in the end, it blew up. And Rahm, although I think he's a complete sphincter, he's not a stupid sphincter, and he's got to see the writing on the wall as far as how American society is viewing the government enforcement agents gunning down young black men in very highly questionable circumstances.
You know, when cops, now more cops in this last year.
By the way, Rahm doesn't care about this black kid. Rahm cares that he was put in a political tights position.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why he got rid of McCarthy, not because the kid was murdered.
This year, in this past 12 months, I believe that we've probably had more police officers arrested for murder in the line of duty than probably any other time in our history. Because it's being caught on video.
Right.
And you want to know why cops are against having badges, like, you know, their lapel, their body cams, thank you, is because of things like this. They won't, even if it's not just murder, it'd be an ass whipping, or it would be speaking unprofessionally to the driver of a car, or threatening some junior high school kid that spit their bubble gum out.
Back east, who shot the guy 8 times in the back as he was running away, empty-handed.
Yeah, you're talking about back in South Carolina, North Carolina,
something like that.
Same thing. That guy got arrested. If it wasn't,
fortunately, somebody else was.
Yeah. Somebody else had video of that. Otherwise, he'd have been fine. This will actually cause cops not to get caught in doing these things, but to prevent them from being able to do them. We need to have this in Chicago and everywhere else. Keep everybody on the up and up.
Body cams, 100% of the time, officers, is not their discretion to turn them off.
No, yep. Not at all.
All right, we'll be back right after these words. We are back, and now it's time for... We all condemn terrorism. It's the oddest thing. For instance, let's look back very recently at the Paris attacks. And of course, there was worldwide condemnation of those attacks by violent terrorists with a political agenda against citizens just going about their business who had no part in whatever it was causing angst to the terrorists. We look at the situation today at the government center in San Bernardino, and that is just unfolding as I'm doing this segment today. And the media is already rampant with condemnation, and this is a horrible act, and these mass shooters, and they have to be punished, and whatnot. So it's interesting that it is. Seems almost universal that we, especially here in America, we condemn acts of terrorism. Well, no, that's bullshit. Most of us do, but not all of us. Some Americans are actually cheerleaders for acts of terrorism. Shocking, isn't it? Provided that the terrorism that's conducted is terrorism of which they approve. For instance, last week, we had the gentleman walk into a Planned Parenthood office. Now, it's interesting because there's this big dilemma, this big debate going on in the media between whether the guy was a leftist and whether he was a conservative. The reality is, according to his ex-wife, he wasn't particularly political, but he was a Christian, and he had done something that, by my experience, most Christians never do to show his commitment. He had actually read the Bible cover to cover. OK, Okay? I've done that three times back in the day. But most Christians that I've talked to have never read the Bible cover to cover. This cat, the shooter at the Planned Parenthood clinic, had read the Bible cover to cover. That puts him probably in the top 10 or 20% of people committed to the faith of Christianity. And he went into a Planned Parenthood center. I don't think there was much of a question about what his motivation was. And so that would be what I would call Christian extremist terrorism. Now, does it reflect on all Christians? Well, I don't think so in the slightest. But it's funny because the same people who are watching me right now saying, no, of course not. It doesn't reflect on all Christians. They believe that when a Muslim does it, it reflects on all Muslims. Now, how do we know that people actually supported what this reprobate did at the Planned Parenthood? Because under the story on one of the big news sources were these following statements. I wonder if Obama smiled when he learned a police officer was killed today and five others shot. Why would anybody make such a statement? Aren't Planned Parenthood facilities just murder factories anyway? Too bad the abortion doctor and the nursing staff weren't killed as well. Whoa. Good. No one deserves to die as much as they do. That poor abortion clinic, their illegal selling of baby body parts for profit was temporarily interrupted. Sniff, sniff. These are actually what people wrote. Why does it take a white guy to show blacks how not to get caught by the police?
Lovely.
Yeah. Amazing. Kind of like saying someone just shot up Auschwitz. Sure, it's illegal, but nobody cares. What's worse than a cop being shot is all the babies that will still die inside that S-hole. Okay. It's probably a black guy that couldn't get a 10-piece chicken McNugget from McDonald's going on a rampage.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
You got to throw the racism in with your Christianity.
Well, that's the hard right. It's just very late-term abortion. Why are liberals so upset? I feel like Obama hired the shooter after what he did to Russia. Distraction, distraction. Yet another false flag to get Obama's agenda back in the news. Okay. So clearly there is a segment of the American population that has no particular angst when an act of terrorism is committed against a target that they don't like. But yet, if this was a Muslim terrorist striking anything, we'll say for the sake, because this is the hard Christian right, we'll say shooting up a church, can you imagine the condemnation? But since it was a Planned Parenthood facility, which is equated with abortion, then the hard religious right has very little angst about that kind of terrorism. I will tell you personally, speaking for me, I am repulsed by all terrorism. But what I am more repulsed by is selective disapproval or approval of the acts of terrorism based on who you like and who you don't. Talk about a lack of moral fiber. Talk about a lack of character. Talk about a lack of humanity and integrity. Those people, and I'm not branding all Christians, I want to be very clear, these are the same people I always refer to as the hard Christian right. These people are extremists, and as you can tell, they are every bit as bad as a lot of people claim that Islam is. Bill?
A couple of things. One, my girlfriend is a patient of Planned Parenthood, not for any abortion, but they actually do regular gynecological services, pap smears, whatever. She goes there once a year to get her once a year checkup done because it's far less expensive than any other place to go to. And every time we've gone there, she's been going there for probably about 5 or 6 years. Never seen a pregnant woman, or I shouldn't say obviously pregnant woman in there. Most of them seem to be going in there for regular checkup type stuff, at least for the few times we've been there. That aside, so it's not just an abortion facility, just so everybody understands. They do other things there as well.
Correct.
I also see this abortion argument. Now, certainly some of these comments that you have there are Christian, hardcore faith-based. But opinions on abortion or not to abort are not always religiously tied. I have a pretty strong opinion on it. It has absolutely nothing to do with any sort of religious influence.
Right, and I think you and I are in lockstep on that.
Yeah, and you know, it's also interesting that we find that on the political sides of this, generally you have the conservative element that says they are anti-abortion, they're pro-life, if you will, and then the Democrats that would be pro-choice or anti-life, they're okay with abortions. And it's the same Democrats who tend to come up all the time and say, you know, we need to do this, that, and the other for the children. Yet, they're okay with sending billions of dollars to Planned Parenthood to publicly fund abortion so there aren't as many children. So it seems a little bit crazy to me. It's all over the map. And what it comes down to is power and money. But these sort of comments, especially the couple you read where somebody's throwing in something about blacks in there, really? You're making a totally... It's a non sequitur. They don't connect, but you're just creating that because you are a super asshole.
Right. Well, you're a Republican. And I've known you for a long time, and I know what's in your heart and in your mind. But there is a reason that people outside the Republican Party often see the Republican Party as the party of bigots and racists. And there's a guy in town who's a Christian. He's an ordained minister. He's not actually working in that capacity now, but he's an ordained minister. He is definitely the hard Christian right. And he stood 2 feet from me one day and told me that the reason he moved to Pahrump is so he doesn't have to interact with any niggers. His word, not mine. Okay?
Really?
Yes. He told this to my face.
Love of all man.
I was appalled, right?
And, did you deck him?
No. It was actually in a business environment. But nevertheless...
That conversation doesn't happen very much in a business environment. It takes the business out of it.
Well, I was managing the business at the time he was a customer.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, but the point being that there's a certain segment in the Republican Party, a small segment, that epitomizes this kind of bigotry and racism, and I think that's what we saw manifested here. And again, whether I'm talking about the hard Christian right of the Republican Party, these people are clearly in the minority. But you know, I think it's important for us to understand they're out there. By the way, since you brought up abortion in the non-religious sense, I've got an article. It's on the website DaveChampionsLiberty.com. Click on blog and then scroll through until you find them. Both people who are pro-choice and people who are pro-life and religious people have said that it's one of the best written articles breaking down what the issues are behind America's looking at abortion. So if you're interested in that, you can go to DaveChampionsLiberty.com, click on blog and read that article. But,
you know, right now in Nevada, there's something interesting going on. You've got Planned Parenthood, which is supposed to be a counseling organization, and they provide abortions if that's where you want to go.
Sure.
There is another organization in Nevada, based in Southern Nevada, that is also a counseling organization, but they try to get expectant mothers to keep the baby, or at least have the baby and give it up for adoption, or something along that lines. Either sure. Keep it or give it up for adoption. And they have gone through the process that's outlined in the state law, to try to get a specialized license plate, because for the specialized license plate, you spend X amount of dollars, and a percentage of those dollars go to the organization. It's a fundraiser, and you can fly your flag. Like, on one of my cars, I have a Ducks Unlimited license plate. You can't actually get it anymore. It's not available, and it was only available for a couple of years. I think I got the only one in Pahrump. And it's a neat looking plate. And Ducks Unlimited was like $60. I think they got 30 of it. And then when you renew each year, they get a percentage. So that's what this whole thing's about. And it's a pro-life plate that this group put together. And of course, they're getting slammed all over social media for being this faith-based organization when they are not. They just have a position on, let's try to covet life. If you're really not ready to have a child now, make that decision before you get involved sexually. And there's all sorts of answers that you've got in order to prevent pregnancy rather than to come at it later and decide, yeah, retroactively, I guess I didn't really want to have to face this.
And whether it's that organization to which you're referring or it's Planned Parenthood, which everybody knows the name, both of them are focused initially on the same process. don't get pregnant if you don't want to have a kid.
Right.
I think that's the part that's lost to the hard Christian right, maybe to even more Americans about Planned Parenthood. They think it's just an abortion mill, when in reality, most of what they're trying to accomplish is, look, we've got all these choices in birth control. Be responsible. Don't get pregnant. But in the worst case scenario, if something happens, we will facilitate an abortion as well. But that's not what they want to do.
Now, and you know, what they're doing after that is what's really gotten them in trouble recently.
Yes, but although that's still legal.
It is, yeah. Unfortunately.
All right, we'll be back.
Put your seatbelts on. It's time for my rant. You know what really grinds my gears? Lack of responsibility and locking yourself in your own tiny little world and forgetting about everybody else. You know, the latest thing now is you've got these kids on these college campuses. You're talking like 18 to 22 year olds, right? That are on these college campuses that want to have these little time out rooms so that they can go so they don't have to hear opinions contrary to their own. They want to be able to go out onto their campuses and out into the world and talk about whatever political related things they want to. But the moment anybody wants to counter them in any sort of debate, they want to be able to run off to this little room, close the door, and la, 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 la. Oh my God, I didn't have to hear anybody that actually was talking about the other side of the issue, about something that I might learn. Oh, geez. Thank you. Thank you for priority. Are you serious? You know what we were doing about 65, 70 years ago with the 18 to 22-year-olds? They were storming the beaches of Normandy and taking back the European continent from the onslaught of the Axis powers led by Adolf Hitler. Same kids, same age back in the day. Now they need a timeout room on their university campuses because they want to go out there and talk about whatever it is. Be it anti-gun, pro-choice, whatever it is, whatever their agenda is. And the second someone comes up to provide them with ideas on the other side, they want to run and hide in their little soundproof room that's probably got lava lamps, and you go in behind the door and there's beads and all these great purple psychedelics. And I don't know, maybe there's a bong sitting there waiting for you and some shrooms to trip on. I don't know what they're like. Seriously? Is this really what we've reduced ourselves down to? Is I have some ideas in my head, as qualified or unqualified as they may be, I want to be able to share them with everybody else and not have to hear the other side. You know, one of the things that we're missing, desperately missing, from high school and college campuses nowadays, debate clubs, where you could actually learn to debate. And the process of debating is also a learning process where you learn the other side. You actually learn what's going on the other side of the fence. You know, I had a bit of an experience with this years ago when I was a high school senior. There was 30 of us in class, in a creative writing class. There were 15 topics, and you were able to choose from the 15 topics. One was for that topic, another was against that topic. So we got to hear these 15 topics, both for and against. The one I was a part of was the death penalty. Was I for the death penalty or was I against the death penalty? Well, I was for the death penalty, and I still am to a certain extent. But with the death penalty comes a whole bunch of expenses that people don't tend to realize. It's actually cheaper to incarcerate somebody for their entire life than it is to put them to death. Because you and I and our tax dollars are paying both sides of the prosecution and the defense, all the discovery, all the expenses for the witness, the jury pools, all of the multiple different discoveries that they have going on, all of the casework that's involved, certainly all of the appeals. My goodness, there's a bunch of those. And this is incredibly expensive. However, sometimes, in my estimation, it's the right thing. The guy that was debating the opposite side actually had an older brother who'd been in trouble with the law his whole life and decided that, you know, my brother might be a big enough dirtbag that he could commit a capital offense, and I don't want to see him die for it. However, but you know something? Neither one of us needed to go run into a rubber room to hear about it. And now we're doing this on college campuses. This is supposed to be higher learning. And you know what else is interesting to me? The administrators of these schools are allowing this. Not only are they allowing this, the administrators of these schools are now being run by these young adults, these slightly overaged adolescents that are running these schools. Oh, they want the chancellor of this school to quit, or the president of that school to resign. You know something? This is a free enterprise business. If you don't like it here on this college campus, go somewhere else. Because there's a lot of people waiting to get into this campus. And we don't need to have you and your sassy pass little mouth and all of your little menial demands where you've produced nothing in life yet. You've produced precisely squat at 18 to 22 years old. You've gone through school your whole life. Likely you haven't even had a job bagging groceries or delivering newspapers. And yet you want to be able to go on there and tell these administrators how to do things. You want to be able to have a rubber room you can go into and hang out with your friends so you can talk about common interest stuff. And nobody's allowed to talk about anything contrary to it. You know something? You haven't earned that yet. Earning those sorts of privileges and exercising your rights are a little bit different. Exercising a right is different than earning a privilege. You're talking about privilege stuff. And you better get off your lazy little candy asses and do something with your sorry little hand-fed lives before you start demanding squat out of me, a university day champion, or anybody else. Go piss up a rope, you pansies. Dave?
They can demand anything they want from me.
And you know what they're going to get?
That's right.
The shaft.
You know, it amazes me that, now, first of all, we should characterize that there's two different issues operative here, and they're somewhat similar in how they play out. One is concerning threats of violence and racism. Okay. I understand that students would want to be separated from somebody who is threatening them with physically or is threatening or is engaged in racism towards them. I get that. To me, that's more of a criminal or quasi-criminal situation, and the campus administration should be stepping in and punishing the people who are doing it, up to and including removing them from the university. Okay. However, there's the other one that we're talking about now, which is all about, I don't want to call it hurt feelings, feigned emotional distress. Okay. When one has to be told, for instance, let's say somebody, this would be the kind of issue that we'd be talking about. Let's say a woman wants to talk about men who are misogynistic, and she's a feminist, and that's her shtick. And somebody says to her, well, I think the whole feminist paradigm is a load of hogwash. And
it's rather cute.
Yeah, right. How cute that you came up with that. And that much of what you ladies, you feminists, refer to as misogynistic is actually sort of the nature of the beast when it comes to men. And it has been that way for all time. And it will always be that way. And you're just trying to look at things which are natural and proper. I would say proper. Natural and claim that there's something wrong with them. I'm not saying that I agree with that argument. I'm just saying that might be the counter argument to her feminist arguments. Supposedly, this is so emotionally distressful to have to hear a counterpoint that they have to remove themselves to areas that other people are not allowed to enter, that are stocked with things, I kid you not, like coloring books and Play-Doh. And they can use these to de-stress after having heard a point of view with which they do not agree.
My response might be to this, if you are such a pansy that you can't deal with learning about the other side, so you actually have an informed opinion rather than being an ignorant opinion, that you need to go to the little rubber room with Play-Doh and coloring books, maybe they should drop a cyanide pill in there and turn it into a little gas chamber. I'm not saying to do that. I'm just proverbially saying, if you are so worthless as an intellectual in this day and age that you can't provide yourself to learn about the other side, at least understand the other side, mm-hmm. you're just taking up space.
And I don't want to cast it as a male-female issue. It could be the same thing, two guys debating gun control.
No, and I get
One guy's like us, the other guy is an anti-gunner. The anti-gunner, you know, runs the way and has to go
and
hide.
And I've been an anti-gunner. You know how I'm an anti-gunner? I take my gun off and I set it on the table and I walk away. I'm now no longer armed. I take that back, put it in my holster, and hey, now I'm armed. I know the opposite side of the argument.
These college students now, the way they're handling this is, Bill, the things that you just said in your pro-gun argument are scaring me. I feel very threatened now.
Yeah, we had that case where somebody had a Confederate flag sticker on a notebook, and another college student saw it and was all stressed out.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, and here's the thing that kills me.
Now, last year you wouldn't have been stressed out because it wasn't a political issue last year.
The media hadn't told you to be stressed out yet.
Yeah.
The universities are, at least in my opinion, by their nature, a venue of ideas. Not just your ideas, but ideas. To me, a university is where young, mushy minds go to be exposed to all manner of argument, pro and con and everywhere in between on any issue that you can imagine, right? So how, to me, the amazing thing is that the administrations of these universities have allowed things to get to the point where a student in an environment that thrives on discussion of ideas, point, counterpoint, okay, and now allow students to claim emotional distress over hearing somebody else's point of view. If I was an administrator and somebody came to me and said, I just listened to Bill Carnes talk about guns and I'm so threatened I have to go play with my Play-Doh. I have to be in a safe zone. Bill Carnes cannot come in my safe
zone. I would love to go beat him in there and turn that Play-Doh into a gun and leave it there for him.
Well, my thing would be, you're no longer part of the school.
Yeah, goodbye.
When you have matured to the point that you can hear somebody else's point of view without this childish feigning of emotional distress, then you are old enough to rejoin the rest of the university. Until that time, you are not emotionally or mentally qualified to be here anymore.
Chancellor Champion. You know, it's to the point at this, colleges are so horrible with this garbage right now. I have three daughters that are moving into the I might be going to college sort of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a little bit afraid. I would support them going to someplace like Hillsdale College, and I don't know how many others there might be out there that I'd actually support them wanting them to go to.
Right. Well, fortunately, as far as what I read, this is still a problem that's a minority issue, that this is not university-wide across the country. This is certain, say, they're known for their left-leaning politics, those kind of institutions.
Which are getting worse and worse as the day goes by.
One of them, as a matter of fact, is Harvard, if you can believe it.
Oh, I can. I can. We'll be right back. Welcome back to segment 4. This is where we get your viewer emails, and we talk about some of the things that you send in. As long as it's good stuff. I mean, we don't want to bore you guys. Send those emails to us.
It's all about us.
And keep them coming to DaveAndBillShow@gmail.com. And you can also always go online and view the shows, listen to the audio at totallyunprepared.info. So go there, check it out.
We have a Facebook page too.
And you know, it's interesting. We had one of our viewers.
Hang on, before you go there.
Oh. Let me back out of the doorway.
Okay, I want to say, you'll notice since I'm coming back from just being sick, I'm glad I'm here today because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to be here today because I had some nasty bug. So you notice today, Bill helped me out. He's doing the heavy lifting on the profanity today so I could just sort of relax, take it easy.
Yeah, actually, I warned our engineer I was going to cuss a couple times. And I usually always leave that up to Dave, but it's getting to the point where I'm so disappointed in American society in a number of different ways that I really don't know how to articulate it well. Like this whole thing with mass shootings, they're happening because nobody there has a gun to stop it. On the occasion that there is someone there with a gun to stop it, it doesn't make the news. Because that doesn't fit their narrative.
Like, remember back in Oregon, there's the mall shooter. He popped a few people.
Bang, bang.
Well, no, he didn't even shoot. CCW guy came out of the holster with his gun and stepped behind a big, like, marble pillar. The shooter saw him come out with a gun. The shooter then ran into a stairwell and shot himself. Because he was facing an armed assailant, right?
Good,
he
there you go.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is with Colorado, but Colorado seems to have a lot of these things going on over the last several years.
Right.
Starting with Columbine up through recently. I remember there was one weekend, there were two different church shootings. One of them, the guy got the gun out and started shooting, and a lady who was in there, she's an off-duty cop or security or something, she had a Beretta, she pulled her gun out and shot the guy down before he actually got any bullets in anybody. And
the former cop.
Yeah, and then someone else was in a church that same weekend that pulled out a gun and was actually successful in shooting a number of people.
I've got to tell you something. I do a lot of posts on the Dave Champion Liberty page on Facebook that are pro-gun, and we talk about the same kind of things we talk about here with the mass shootings. Inevitably, I get these. They always tend to be these young guys. I think there's these college students we were just talking about who say, oh, nobody can stop any of these things with a gun. All you're going to do is shoot all the innocent people, right? You're just going to be spraying bullets and hitting innocent people, right?
Yeah, of course.
So it was great because this last time, I had just been looking at a story before I read that comment in the thread. And so I said, well, here's the problem. Criminologist Professor Gary Kleck, in his research, found that Americans use firearms to defend themselves more than 2 million times a year. So how does that play in your scenario with... It's impossible. You say it's impossible. It doesn't happen. A professional, not some punk kid.
Professional researcher. Yeah.
Right, who is a professor, a college professor, says it happens more than 2 million times in a year. I said, and just to rub it into him a little bit, I said, if you're yellow, that's okay. But even girls do it. And I put in a link from a story I had just been reading. Two guys came up and tried to rob a guy and his wife. The guys, obviously, the bad guys were focused on the husband as a potential threat to what they were doing. The wife pulled out a gun, killed one of them, the other one ran away. So I put that link
in
there.
Even a girl can do it.
Even a girl can do it. So with all these mass shootings.
Yeah, and we actually got a viewer email just in the last couple of days that said, hey, if you guys are going to put on any kind of a shooting course, put me on your list. Well, at lunch today, we talked about putting on a potential spring course, which would be focused on if you get caught in a mass shooting scenario, what to do. Yeah. So keep in mind, this idea is about 90 minutes old at the time we're giving it to you.
No promises is what we're
saying. No promises at all. We'd have to find the proper facilities, get a curriculum together and such as that. Certainly information we know and can do. It's a facility management, location management. If you are interested, you could do one of a couple of things. Either send us an email. If you happen to know of a great location we could do this, I know of one in northern Utah, but I don't know what their schedule is. We'll talk about it. And then you've also got the Dave Champion Liberty page. People can go and like that because we'd announce it
there. If you're on Facebook, go to Dave Champions Liberty and like that page because certainly if this starts to develop, I'll be putting incremental posts up there about that. Also, I want to say to you sit here and you watch week in and week out. Bill and I shoot the breeze as friends and political commentators. But I think when we're talking about a course, this is an excellent time for me to say something I've already told you. Years ago, watching Bill...
Oh, don't tell this story.
In watching Bill's style of instruction concerning firearms, I said, and you'll probably remember this, I said, Bill... You are the instructor's instructor. You are the instructor to instructors. And I even said something you took a little bit of umbrage with. I said, I think your skills are a bit wasted on the basic courses because you teach it. It's understandable by everybody, but your level of expertise when you teach firearms in tactics is so incredible and so perfected that you're the guy who should be teaching all of the instructors. And so I want you to know, okay, I won't comment on my own. If people have trained with me, my reputation is already out there. But for those who have not trained with Bill, because you haven't been in the game in a while. You got out a lot before I did.
Well, kind of. We've
both kept our big toes in the pool.
A little bit, yeah. And I've actually been more of a concierge instructor. I've taken on individual private clients that I don't really talk about on the show.
Right.
And there's a couple of groups that I have gone out and taught with. By the way, thank you very much for those words. One of the things I used to do was actually run instructor development firearms courses for a couple of different organizations, including that for a DOD contract. It's always nice to be able to take somebody who knows how to teach, knows how to shoot, and get those things together so that they can go out and carry on the good work.
You and I just partnered on Advanced Combat Rifle. When did we do that? 5 months ago? 6 months ago?
It was a year ago.
No way.
It was a year ago November. It's 13 months ago.
Wow, how time flies. Yeah. So, yeah, that was the last we partnered on that course, Advanced Combat Rifle.
Yeah. So. That was good stuff.
Students love that.
We'll look at putting some together on this. I think the thing is it's one of these deals that people really want to know, because a mass shooting scenario is a little bit different than somebody coming up and sticking a gun in your ribs and
yes.
taking your wallet, or you
highly
know,
chaotic.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're caught in a 7-Eleven and somebody's pointing the gun at the cashier's face. And, you know, what do I do from here? Those are a little bit different than someone just randomly out there shooting and shooting and shooting.
And, yeah, in those situations you just mentioned, you're not having to cope with 20, 50, or 100 panicked cattle, which is what humans become in that situation.
Sure.
They're panicked. They're running in every direction. And, you know, when I think about doing this course, I mean, to me, what I would want to impart to the students, sort of the macro theme, if you will, is that... thinking about it and, you know, being that sort of macho guy, no, here's what I would do, is entirely different than doing it. We can think about all sorts of things, and we probably do, all of us, think about all sorts of things we might do, but if we're not trained, we don't have expertise, we've not rehearsed it, it's very unlikely to come out exactly as we imagine. And that's always one of the benefits that I've, you know, it's, if somebody were to say, you know, and I've heard this from time to time, you know, people who've trained with me and whatnot, you know, they're like, Dave, you're quite a badass. And my thing is, perhaps I am, perhaps I'm not. It's in the eyes of the beholder. But if I am, it's not because I have bravado. It's because I've taken the time to train and rehearse and imagine and run through scenario after scenario after scenario after scenario with airsoft, with live weapons, which Bill and I talked about we'd be using both in this course, so that when these things jump off, I am literally not facing it for the first time. Even if it's something that I've never encountered in the real world, it's something I've encountered in a setting which is as close to real world as training can create, which is a hell of a lot better than what guys may fantasize they would do.
You're right. Imagine the first time when you're a brand new driver, you're trying to turn right into a driveway and someone else is coming out left and they're kind of blocking your way and you're kind of locked up. What we all now experience that on a nearly daily basis when we drive.
Right.
We've dealt with that. And it's not necessarily doing it. Okay, well, now we've got an idea. So I would hope that this course would bring that sort of thing out, that we would actually be able to get people in the idea of there's gun handling, marksmanship, and tactics. You're going to need to bring your gun handling and your marksmanship to this course if we do it. We will go over the tactics. Tactics are fluid.
Right.
Tactics change constantly.
And
gun handling and marksmanship does not.
One of the things that an active shooter environment very likely will have, which is entirely different from any scenario most people train for, 99.9999% of the shooting public, is shooting in a crowd. And shooting in a crowd has a specific skill set.
Yes, it does.
And it has rules to the game.
It's a very, very high skill set as well. You're going to need to bring this.
Yep. So that's what we are potentially cooking up for you.
Yeah, and if we do that, it'd probably be April or May in 2016, I'm thinking.
Yeah, right in that ballpark.
And if you're interested in something like this and you haven't yet developed your basic skill set for gun handling and marksmanship and know your stuff, you've got a few months now to get that under your belt and get it practiced and rehearsed and get it up there. Because if we do this course and you come in here and you're all thumbs and you don't know what you're doing with a gun, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to send you down the road so everybody else can actually learn. You're going to have to bring something relatively substantial to the game. And if you want to do it, we're talking about 5-6 months down the road. You can develop basic skill sets for gun handling and marksmanship in a couple, 2-3 months.
Sure.
So get ready, get
and
it done.
We will begin with basic range work to find out who's got what.
Yeah.
So
we
don't mean to be harsh, but if we tell you to come out of the holster, chamber check, mag check, make them hot, You stand there wondering what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, and your pattern's all over the place at 7 yards. You're shooting too fast. You don't know what you're doing. You're not moving. You don't understand. These are some of the things you need to bring so we can actually learn from there.
And again, the part about apologize for being harsh. If you can't do these basic skills, I don't care how much you spend on airfare, I don't care how much you spend on a hotel, rent a car, we're going to have to ask you to go home. Or you can stay as an observer.
Yeah.
But this skill set requires you to have some game so we can take you to the next level.
Yeah, so either develop that now, or if you've got it, be ready. Keep your calendars open, April, May-ish. We'll work something out. We're going to try to get ourselves a good facility for this, a good environment, and have you guys come on.
We'll let you know the date as soon as we can.
Yeah, we'll get something together. And I have a feeling those will be enjoyable all around and a whole lot of great information. You would want to bring your notebooks as well.
Yeah. An active shooter is really something that I enjoy teaching because, like you, teaching the very mundane, basic stuff is yesterday.
Gets to a point, and you got to be able to go.
This is the kind of stuff I dig.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Take care.